The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, Forum on Single Spine Pay Policy begins in Hull today. National Security Committee on Lands and Natural Resources vows to flush out illegal miners by close of this year. Beneficiaries of Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty Leap Program to be increased from 71,000 to 150,000 next year. 14 top allies of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo released from prison. And U.S. and EU envoys support mediation efforts in Egypt. That's the summary with Doreen Ampofu.
The Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations will today begin a two-day forum in Hull to discuss the social benefits and challenges confronting the single spine pay policy. Participants will include labour unions, civil servants and members of the public. They are expected to arrive at a consensus on the way forward regarding the implementation of the policy. President John Dramani Mahama will open the forum with a keynote address. The National Security Committee on Lands and Natural Resources has vowed to flush out illegal mining operatives by close of this year. Chairman of the committee, Brigadier General Daniel Michio, says the task force is currently operating in four regions and will now reclaim all degraded lands. Brigadier General Michio said this in an interview with Radio Ghana. The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelisa, has announced that beneficiaries of the Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty LEAP program will be increased from 71,456 households to 150,000 next year. Mrs. Oyelisa disclosed this when she supervised payment of the LEAP fund to beneficiaries from more than 180 households in 9 communities in the Keta municipality. 14 top allies of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo, including his son, have been released from prison pending criminal trials this year. Some senior officials have welcomed the move but called for the release of all party members, including Laurent Gbagbo, before national reconciliation can begin. And U.S. Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham have joined top diplomats in Cairo to find a peaceful solution to Egypt's political stalemate. Egypt has been in crisis since the army ousted leader Mohamed Morsi on 3rd July. Thousands are taking part in protests in Cairo demanding the reinstatement of the deposed president.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news now in detail. President John Mahama will today open a two-day forum on the implementation of the single spine pay policy in Hull. The forum, being organized by the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations, is on the theme, Building National Consensus for Sustainability of the Single Spine Salary Policy. It will provide a platform for a dispassionate discussion of the tremendous social benefits and challenges arising out of the implementation of the pay policy. Deliberations at the forum are expected to help the nation arrive at a consensus on the way forward regarding the implementation of the policy. Participants will be from labor unions, employers, labor experts, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, National Labor Commission, and other stakeholders.
Government says through its road sector improvement program, Ghanaians must look forward to major road projects and expansions in the next 4 years. President John Mahama, who gave the assurance when he inspected work on the Awoshi-Pukwasi and Anya-Pukwasi road projects in Accra, noted that roads are the greatest intervention to a growing population. Both projects are being funded by government, the African Development Bank and the France Agency for Development. They will all be completed before the end of next year. Pascalina Dadivo reports.
The construction of the Awoshi-Pukwasi and Anya-Pukwasi roads come with a community upgrading project, which means in addition to the road construction, residents will benefit from schools, hospital, markets, lorry parks and borehole facilities. The Awoshi-Pukwasi road is targeted at providing a link between Isawam and Awoshi on the N1 highway. It is a 17-kilometer road. To improve safety along the road, provision has been made for 8-foot bridges at critical intersections along the road. traffic lights on the stretch will be used solar as source of power. The Awoshi-Pokwasi Road project is scheduled to be completed by December this year. President Mahama is impressed with progress of work.
Well done. I'm satisfied with the pace of work on the road, and I think that these are the kinds of solutions we need. As Accra is growing as a city, we must make road interventions that allow people to have alternatives. I think that's what it's all about.
He stated that he has directed the Ministry of Finance to begin processes to pay compensation for those affected by the construction.
I think there is an issue of compensation. I have asked the Minister of Finance to pay those who are yet to be compensated.
The Anyapokwasi Road started in November 2011 and will be completed by December next year. The dual carriageway is 55% complete. The community will benefit from the construction of 14 schools, an accident center at Amasaman Market, Lorry Park, among others. Minister of Roads and Highways Alhaji Amin Suleiman said the African Development Bank has agreed to fund the construction of an interchange at the intersection of the Awoshi-Pokwasi Road and the Nsawom Road.
We need an interchange with the N1, and we are talking with the French, and they think they can support us. The African Development Bank has also happily agreed to support us with an interchange at the Pokwasi. So that's what the impression that we've created here. We've got the drawings and everything we do.
President Mahama spells out the vision of his government as far as major roads and transport sector developments are concerned.
We're thinking about the road sector improvement program. Roads have become an issue of social tension in our country today. Remember what happened in Ashaman and several other places. And so one of the major interventions the government is going to do is to improve the transport sector. For every country that has developed, you know, you have to open up the country so that goods and services and human beings can move, you know, freely across the country. And so over the next 4 years, government is going to make a major intervention in the transport sector, in the railways, in the road. We're going to open up the road significantly so that it would add to the economic growth that we're seeing.
Government has indicated that a significant portion of the oversubscribed $1 billion euro bond will go into funding about 150 road projects across the country.
Pascalina Dadivo filed that report.
The chairman of the National Security Committee on Lands and Natural Resources, Brigadier General Daniel Michio, has vowed to flush out operators of illegal mining by the end of the year. He said a task force set up 3 months ago has chalked up many successes and will make sure that the nation is safe from the activities of galamsey operators. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Brigadier Michio said the task force, which is currently operating in 4 regions, has managed to reduce illegal mining to the barest minimum and will reclaim all degraded lands.
Simply put, very successful. I believe that you had information about the number of arrests that have been made, the reduction of illegal mining to the barest minimum now. And in actual fact, we are into a phase now we call the reclamation phase. And so, for now, we are trying to reclaim the land that has been degraded by illegal mining.
We will talk more about the reclamation phase, but then can you tell us some of the major challenges you are facing?
Some of the major challenges we are facing right now is actually weather, because due to the rain, it has been difficult to operate in certain areas. But in general, everything has gone on quite well, because we've had the full support of the Interministerial Task Force headed by the Honorable Minister for Lands and Natural Resources. We've had all the support we've required.
Well, let's talk more about the reclamation exercise. How is the task force going about the reclamation exercise?
You would recall that so many areas have been degraded due to illegal mining. Vast areas, forests, river bodies have been destroyed. And one thing that we need to know is that the rivers have started getting back to normalcy. And so the water is now getting better than it used to be. Certain areas which have been degraded, which are close to river bodies, we have not been able to reclaim the land because of the conditions there. But so far, I think that we're doing the best we can.
But then there have been allegations of money extortion by some operatives of the task force. To what extent has the task force been able to deal with this challenge?
The very important point to note is that you've also described it as allegations. So for each allegation that has come up, we've tried to investigate to get the truth. We realize that there are recalcitrant personnel, whether they are military or police, who have gone on their own way to try to extort money from people. So what we've done is to put in security measures to ensure that only those who are authorized to be in the area's operation who are out there. And so we've got identification methods, including the vehicles that they used. And so for now, we don't have much problem with that.
Well, so after the reclamation phase, what next?
After the reclamation phase, we are going to ensure that no illegal mining comes back. You recall that from the president's directive, illegal mining is supposed to stop. And so it is our intention that before the end of the year, illegal mining will be a thing of the past.
And that was Chairman of the National Security Committee on Lands and Natural Resources, Brigadier General Daniel Mishu, talking to Agatha Samoa.
Former Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana, Professor Akweju Asensuatri, has asked government to lead the building of partnership between researchers and policymakers. This, he noted, will help bridge the gap and also help lower the unemployment rate in the system. He said if proper attention is given to the agricultural sector, it will reduce unemployment among the youth. Professor Asensuatri said this at the 65th anniversary of the College of Agriculture and Consumer Sciences in Accra. Na Atesua and Charlotte Hammond have filed this report.
Youth unemployment has been a challenge to government over the years. Professor Akweju Asensuatri said ineffective collaboration between researchers and policymakers largely accounts for the rising rate of youth unemployment. He said many students complete school without the requisite skills to be absorbed into the job market. Professor Asensuatri said agriculture is the mainstay of the country's economy, but the sector has not been given the needed attention by successive governments. He, however, commended the College of Agriculture and Consumer Sciences for its role in developing the capacity needed for agricultural development through its programs.
This college has contributed a lot to Ghana's agricultural development. New varieties of crops, new breeds of animals, and other things have been done. In terms of processing, they used to process cheese, ham, and other products. So all of these things have been contributing to Ghana's development. And most of the people managing agriculture in the country now were educated in this college. So there's a lot of contribution that this college has made to agriculture. Now, I would like to see more of cooperation between the college and then the policy-making body. I would like to see more cooperation between the college and then the farmers and the rural people so that their education research will reflect on the needs of the people. And then whatever results they come up will reflect into policy so that we will have pragmatic policies as we move on. The government should put more into the research station, own the lands on which the research station are situated, because these are big assets for research for this country and we should preserve that.
The country director of the Food and Agriculture Organization, Dr. Lambodia Thombiano, said ensuring food security in the sub-region demands a collaborative effort of policymakers and implementers. He cited factors such as environmental degradation and pollution of water bodies as causes of food insecurity.
Now, Atresua and Charlotte Hammond filed that report.
Beneficiaries of the Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty Leave Program will be increased from 71,476 households to 150,000 next year. The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyeliza, made this disclosure when she supervised payment of the LEAP fund to beneficiaries from more than 180 households in 9 communities in the Shima area of the Keta municipality. Kobla Ali Kukubo has filed this report.
The Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty, LEAP program, is a social intervention that involves the provision of cash and health insurance to poor households in the country. The program was started in 2008 with 1,654 beneficiary households in 21 districts across the country. The program has now been expanded to cover 71,456 people in 90 districts this year. According to the Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, section, Nana Oyelisa, the program is being migrated to electronic payments to ensure efficiency and reduce cost, adding that the electronic payment system is being piloted in 10 districts. She disclosed that money which ranges from 15 to 45 Ghana cedis a month is in arrears of about 8 months and efforts are being made to clear the arrears. Mrs. Oyelisa said LEAP and other social intervention programs such as the school feeding and free school uniforms are means adopted by government to improve the lives of the vulnerable and increase economic standards in the country. The minister commended development partners, the Departments for International Development and World Bank for their support. The country representative of United Nations Children Fund, UNICEF, Susan Dongo, commended the government for implementing the LEAP program to improve the livelihood of the vulnerable and children. The Keta Municipal Director of Social Welfare, Faustina Bokle, said a total of 1,100 households from 27 communities in the municipality are benefiting under the program.
Volta Regional Correspondent Kobla Ali Kokobos report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Forum on Single Spine Pay Policy begins in Ho today. National Security Committee on Lands and Natural Resources vows to flush out illegal miners by close of this year. Beneficiaries of Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty LEAP to be increased from 71,000 to 150,000 next year, and still to come, 14 top allies of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo released from prison, and US and EU envoys support mediation efforts in Egypt.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Welcome back. I'm in connection with today's forum on the single spine pay policy in Ho. Radio Ghana caught up with the Deputy Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Entri Boisiaku Sechere, who dismissed the notion that the scheme may be suspended. He says scrapping the scheme will be suicidal.
There's no iota of truth in this. Government is committed to the implementation of the single spine pay policy. Even before the NDC won election, the NDC had already committed itself to the implementation of single spine. And if you recall, immediately we came into office, we held a national forum on single spine to indicate the way forward. Because a day before the NDC government was brought into being, the previous government had announced a 34% increase in workers' pay as part of the implementation of the single spine. Workers of this country rejected it because it has no basis. And that is why we all met, dialogued, and came out with a roadmap for the implementation. Our government has been very consistent and committed to the roadmap, to the extent that 99.9% of public sector workers have been migrated as the first phase. The second and other phases are being implemented. And that is why we are hoping this forum to have a consensus on the sustainability and the way forward.
The other argument is that government is unable to raise money to pay for some of the allowances and then hook on the rest of the public sector workers who have not yet been hooked on the spine. Is that true? And should it happen that at this forum you decide to scrap it, would you consider that suicidal to the NDC government?
Scrapping it is not on any table, so that is not an option. Sustainability is an option, and that is what we are going to look at and dispassionately discuss with our social partners so that we'll build consensus on that. The thing is that, for example, the interim market premium, which have been the bane of strife in recent months, there was no guidelines at the implementation stage.
Why? Why?
Why? Because you agree that because of the heightened tension and expectation of workers, we could not have built all of them before migrating them in 2010. And that is why we took time in coming out with the guidelines. The guidelines have been gazetted. There's a government white paper on it. And we want to dialogue seriously on it so that our social partners will have the import of it and will be able to understand it effectively so that when it is implemented, we'll have no problems.
Deputy Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Entri Boisiaku Sechere. The head of negotiations and grievances of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, Collins Yawson, said it is not automatic that every year the commission would increase wages. He explained that allowances are not top-ups to salaries, but incentives to relieve workers when they undertake special duties such as travels, accommodation or risk.
As Honorable said, the single standard salary policy is in phases. The first phase is to migrate all public sector workers onto the single standard salary structure. The second phase is market premium, which the guidelines have just come out. The third phase is the issue of harmonization and standardization of allowances. All public sector workers are going to have the same group of allowances, same rates of payment, etc. And this is where I'm sure you are talking about. The third phase is the issue of productivity. I'm sure you know that over the years, there's been a lot of increment. In 2010, there was increment. 2011, there was increment. 2012, there's increment. This year, we are negotiating for a base pay increment. It is important or prudent that we meet and see how we can juggle this payment and allowance payment so that it will not be a drain on the economy. Let's face it, government cannot also use all its money to pay salaries when there are other things to do, such as the service provision of roads, schools, hospitals, etc. So it is not true that nobody wants to pay the allowances or that it's not coming. It is another phase of the single standard salary policy. And as I'm speaking, a committee was set up to go and define those allowances and also to recommend some rates to the allowances. This has been done. In fact, last 2 weeks, we were at the Angel Hotel, where the technical committee set up and finished with this aspect of the work. I believe that when we have finished with the base pay issues this year, that will be the next phase that we will come to. But let me also say something that, you see, there's this expectation out there as if the allowance is going to add to the salary. No, allowances are contingent on the performance of something. For example, when you travel to Kumasi and you come back, you are giving out of station allowance. When you act for somebody, you are giving out an allowance. So it is not a top-up on our salaries. It is actually something that you are paid for contingent on something.
And that is what is causing the high expectation of workers. They think that the allowances was going to add up to the portfolio of their take-home.
Exactly. That is why I'm explaining it. So it is not a top-up. Indeed, the best way, see, the single-spine salary policy itself, just migrating workers from the single-spine brought about a 54% increment across the board on salaries, apart from the yearly increment that I have talked about. So you can imagine that it has been some level of strain on the economy. And so the allowances, the idea is not to scrap it or not to let it come to being, but it is a phase of the policy. And the allowance is not a top-up on the salary. It is something that will be there. See, it's a good idea because some institutions, some employees don't have any group of allowances at all. Now, when we standardize and monetize, what it means is that as long as you are a public sector worker, you can also look forward to having the same kind of allowances, the same rates of allowances as your friends in other sectors enjoy.
Mr. York, you had the head of negotiations and grievances of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, Cornelius Yorson, talking to George Ankara.
The police have identified poor street naming and house numbering as a big challenge in fighting crime. It said even though the public volunteer information on the hideout of criminals, locating the area sometimes become difficult for the police. This came to light when some divisional heads within the Accra Regional Police Command interacted with a section of the media in Accra. The commanders called on the government to speed up with the house numbering project, which they say will facilitate the work of the police. They were grateful to the government for providing the police with the state-of-the-art equipment to fight crime. Bright Intrama has filed this report.
The forum was to fashion out what role the media will play in helping the police fight crime. It brought together divisional commanders from Nima, Legon, Airport and Abeka. The Nima Divisional Police Commander, Chief Superintendent Nuhu Alhassan Tango, said the police are poised to intensify the fight against crime in the society. He said the Nima Division is implementing the motorbike patrolling strategy to curb the incidents of back snatching, which is gaining roots in the area. Chief Superintendent Tango explained that the police will intensify snap checks on vehicles and appeal to the public to bear with them.
So you, the media, too, have been going to play. Sometimes they're gorgeous. If you go to all the West African countries, you have great reference numbers also. Liberia like that, Morovia, it's not even as big as Cocoa. We go to Burkina Faso. But the way they lay out, so it's not the responsibility of the police to do this numbering and street names and all these things. One day, I'm staying at the patrol. There was an armed robbery there. there. Then my church member called me. Then I called my people. To get to that place was difficult. Talking. Before they were there, about 10 minutes, then the people had finished. This is one of our days.
The Legon District Police Commander, Chief Superintendent Frank Enin, urged the public to have confidence in the Supreme Court and accept its verdict.
This pending Supreme Court judgment, to use it for educating the people that whatever happens, they should accept it in good faith. We should have confidence to the judicial system because it's not a single person. It's 9 most senior judges who are going to take on this. So there's no way anybody can show yourself biased.
At the end of the interaction, the media house's presence promised to provide more airtime to the police and its quest to fight crime. Bright in Trauma filed that report.
8 suspects out of the 25 that were arrested by the police in connection with riots at Nkwantan North District have been arraigned before court. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Volta Regional Police Commander, ACP Fred Ejepon Asare, said the suspects were remanded into custody to reappear next week. He refuted allegations that it was the DCE who led the police to arrest the suspects.
The Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, GBC, has launched an appeal on behalf of 33-year-old Jamila Tuidrisu to undergo kidney transplant. The transplant will cost 60,000 Ghana cedis. The GBC appeals to all organizations and public-spirited individuals to channel their donations to Ghana Commercial Bank High Street Branch to account number 101-106-009-2147. The number again is 101-106-009-2147 or call Hajia Sawura to Alasan on phone number 020-816-7871 or 026-502-8574. 026-502-8574 to receive any assistance.
In international news, the Ivorian government has ordered the release from prison of 14 top allies of former President Laurent Gbagbo, including his son, pending criminal trials this year. More than 100 suspected supporters of the former president were arrested in the wake of a civil war that erupted after Mr. Gbagbo refused to accept defeat in a presidential runoff in late 2010. Human rights campaigners have said their detention constituted a major obstacle to reconciliation as President Ouattara seeks to heal the wounds of a decade-long political crisis. A senior official of Mr. Gbagbo's party, Michel Ingesan, has welcomed the move but called for the release of all party members, including Laurent Gbagbo, before national reconciliation can begin.
Meanwhile, the fate of former Ivorian budget minister in the Gbagbo administration, Justin Kone Katinan, continues to hang in the balance as the Osu District Court adjourns the case to Friday, the 9th of this month. The adjournment follows the granting of an application by the state seeking leave of the court to file its address out of time. Chief State Attorney Matthew Amponsa apologized to the court for the inconvenience, noting that the AG's office was compelled to file the application as a matter of principle. He said the office received the address of the defense on a short notice and could not have filed a response before judgment would be read. The application will allow the state to address certain issues highlighted by the defense. Counsel for Mr. Katinan, Patrick Sobojo, did not oppose the application. He admitted that there were some logistical issues regarding service on the state which may have resulted in delayed service. He noted that he could not file his address before the 9th of last month, as was directed by the court, but filed it on the 12th. The magistrate, Abuaje Tando, was unhappy with the situation, noting that the defense should have notified the court on its late filing. He has directed the Attorney General's office to file his address by 12 noon tomorrow and directed same to the defense. Justin Katinan was arraigned before the court last year on summary trial pending extradition. He is alleged to have robbed 10 financial institutions of 348 billion CFA, equivalent to $680 million.
U.S. Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham have joined top diplomats in Cairo to help find a peaceful solution to Egypt's political stalemate. The Pentagon's Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel called on Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to discuss mediation progress by U.S. and EU envoys. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State William Burns also visited Muslim Brotherhood Deputy Head Kairat al-Shater in jail. Egypt has been in crisis since the army ousted President Morsi on the 3rd of July.
To answer news, the main points again. The Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations will today begin a two-day forum in Ho to discuss the social benefits and challenges confronting the single-spine pay policy. President John Dramani Mahama will open the forum with a keynote address. The National Security Committee on Lands and Natural Resources has vowed to flush out illegal mining operatives by close of this year. This was disclosed by the chairman of the committee, Brigadier General Daniel Michio, in an interview with Radio Ghana. And 14 top allies of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo, including his son, have been released from prison pending criminal trials this year. The news was presented by